presentation today takes place in quite a key moment in the global economy. The headwinds are very clearly the price of our main minerals, iron ore, as perhaps the best example is platinum. Those prices are tumbling at the moment. And they represent in the past a big spur to our growth, to our job creation, to our development. And suddenly, in a relatively short space of time, global demand is drying up, global prices are tumbling, and that puts more pressure on us to get our domestic economic policies aligned to tap more into Africa and South Africa. So more and more of our focus now is on the continent and in the country. And so I'm sure some of the plans, some of the ideas will illustrate the kind of things we do. So once again, thank you very much, Chairperson. I am going to ask you very humbly if I may be excused as soon as the Deputy Minister does the presentation. And of course, he and I will talk afterwards with any specific areas that we need to follow up. But he leads our work in this area and he's the appropriate person to be doing the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister, for those words, or for that, what you said. So I'll take some notes. And you are excused at an appropriate time because you are here. We appreciate that. We know that you did also be in a very serious. So with those few words, thank you very much. You will be excused. Over to you, David. This is ours.
All yours.
All ours.
No, thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much, thank you very much, Minister. And I see that there was in the introduction, we didn't go out and there are the transactions for our food. The DG has already given instructions for everything. You can say to the DG, well, I can see who is the DG.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Kumar Naidu. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Mohammed Balde from the
Come on, sorry, you said
Mohammed Balde.
Easier so that when we deal with our age, we studied the core of our task. And when we've done so, we look at who's supposed to do them and who are supposed to be aligned for us to be able to achieve the outcome. We don't only do that, we also give strategic directions to development financial institutions. Financial institutions to say, here is the line, and this is what you're trying to do. Members will remember that one of the frameworks that we have created was the National Growth Path that gives us job drivers. So when you do assessment, it's on the basis of that. The other one that we do is that as we carry out the transactions, we also check as to whether people who are trading and people who are in the business are competing in the same manner. There are no others that are laying tracks for others. Sometimes we don't come up with activities that harm society. So this is what we'll be talking to. The current context within which we're talking about is still the same. We still issues where we have to deal with issues of employment, issues of inequality, issues of poverty. And when you do all these, it informs us. So generally, every year, every quarter, we check what progress are we making in that strategy so that we can be able to see if we are really, all of us as government are still going toward the right direction. So we note that. In terms of our performance, we look at all those things as well, are the changes in terms of the short term, in terms of the inputs that you see, whether there's change in government, whether there's change in growth. But longer term, on annual basis, is check as to whether it has impact in relation to poverty and other So that is why, before we start speaking, we want to account to say our money hasn't grown that much. We're still at 3.8 trillion of our GDP. Yes, the same size as Malaysia, Denmark, and Colombia. And just to indicate to members that that performance indicates to us that 15.3 million of South Africans are unemployed. And when you look at the period between when you get into 2010 now, we have seen an increase of 1.7 million. That 1.7, that 1.8, in that 15.3 million, and of that 15.3 million, 6.1 million, it's youth. And in the account of the youth, we must indicate that it is a growth that has gone from 5.7 to 6.1, which means that we have selected 215,000 of young people with an increase, but it's not something that we can be excited about because others are growing. New people are actually coming in when you will see a gain in terms of your employment reduction because it's counterbalanced by the your growth is not equal to and it's not coping with your growth is not coping with your population growth dynamics. So those are things that we are coming up to we are looking at. We are saying that we have to emphasize more on products that are very qualitative and which are resulting into exports that are going to give us more value in our GDP. And I just indicate you that currently we are at the value of our exports are at 30%. And we are saying that our economy, the economy globally, when you look at it, it's a 3.3, it has grown by 3.3% globally. And that 3.3%, we're mentioning it because we're saying to you that there are certain factors that have happened in South Africa that we have where we have seen certain economic activities declining. For instance, when we talk of demand for South African exports declining, had a lot of industrial concrete in the country. And as such, when you look at that, we have legends of the Argentine master community low. I mean, almost half of what the world operations, not only the world operations, where it's 1.5% of our growth rate is at 1.5%. When we have said to ourselves, we should change 5% according to the over time. So those things that we'll be talking about here, they will seem to be influencing this venture. I was talking about government. It's not a philosophical phenomenon, it's actually a national phenomenon, because in the whole world, we're looking at the need for 600 million jobs to be created, which are just responding to our youth. Why everyone is thinking, emphasizing on the youth inside? It's because it's what we call a demographic dividend. Demographic dividend is just an interesting term. And what it means is that when you've got a country, you should be having those who are supposed to be dependent must be at least less than who are economic edges. So if you have got more of those who are less of those who are economic edges, you create a problem, because the income is everything, the livelihood of the whole citizen is actually coming from the very few people. So in our case, when you look at the demographic giving as for full population spread, it's said to be progressive. But then what is the problem with it is that when it's progressive, when you've got more younger people, less old and children, is that the capacity, the absorption capacity of that section is the problem, because it's less than what you could meet the rest of it. So that is why everybody focuses on the youth and make more emphasis to say something must be done on that, because once you do that, that is what makes your economy to have more impact, because those who are earning will be able to spread the riches, which means the higher class are not able to act. So when we implement what we are going to speak about, we are not going to be moving away from what we've been doing before. We move from the language of the NDP. We are focusing on the NDP. We are looking at the job drivers as mentioned in the NDP. And then we set our strategic, our medium-term strategic framework of strategy, and it has been announced, and it was covered also in the state of the mission itself and the budget framework. So based on that, we then work on the details. We're working on the details here coming from. So one of the other concepts that we need to know, because we are NCOP, is to note that provinces are very critical in terms of their input. Municipalities, in their different forms, municipalities, cities, and the metros are very critical in terms of making inputs into our growth. The activities that are there and the strengths that we build at that level determine on the aggregate outcome that are going to come at the end. And we are reflecting on this so that the members should know that we still have the same kind of a trend that we have with your Gauteng, your Western Cape, and the KZN, and the dominant in terms of their contribution into our growth. And all of my countries for that amount. Gauteng is still high at 33.8%, and the Western Cape at 16.7%. Something that we are going to talk about later, because when you look at this you see the contribution by the comfort has increased from 6.2% to 7.2%. It means there is some kind of process which has to be introduced, but it's not so significant to change the whole situation. there will be something interesting that you will see. While growth is actually skewed towards that, you will see a little bit later in terms of these outcomes when you look at the employment, that there will be a twist in terms of that increase or in the output has got a significant impact in relation to its outcome for employment. We are also indicating that this is just these are average growth. What are these growth? Western Cape, KZN, Western Cape, Gauteng, and KZN. These are the figures that are increasing. They're increasing by. So if Western Cape and Eastern Cape are actually above the national rate of the 3.7, which is our national average growth. If the Eastern Cape goes as far as like 4.2 and 4.0, it is indicating that they are the main contributors in our economy. So here, this is what I wanted to talk to. What is the impact of that? Of these things that we're talking about? Why Western Cape and Gauteng and KZN are indicated as many major contributors? They also show that they absorb more of our employment. They are the ones that are absorbing more of our employment. But what we want to point out is that the smallest growth that you see in here in the poll. Can you see the major impact that it is having in terms of employment? 32% of that. That's the slightest growth. And when you look at these other provinces, Northwest, Mpumalanga, they are there. Look at the increase of housing. But why 13%? It's because housing has almost reached a stagnant region. It has been growing all along. It has been having usually industrial centers which will major focus on. So the growth there will actually be slower than the other regions. We are hoping that for everything to get even the others that were not in the upper league, to have a growth like that in terms of employment in the province. That is our major focus. So whatever we talk about, if it doesn't result in that in these changes in the increase in employment, it will mean that we're not doing very well and that we have to look for alternative ways of doing that. We just wanted to point out that our provinces, where do we have serious significant price changes, which province is growing towards the side where you've got more expensive prices on similar commodities in the pandemic. So if you look at that, Western Cape is becoming more expensive, more and more expensive in terms of the consumer price index. And KZN becomes a province which is growing in terms of size. It's not so much. And Gauteng is right there in the middle. It's interesting that when you look at Brisbane, you know, there's a question that it should not be having too much price pushing, but it is actually second. It's surprising because when you look at other statistics, when you look at its growth and you look at its employment capacity, it's the last in terms of employment capacity. But you see a price going up here. Some of the things that in the middle of the year you probably want to look at and see what's happening is, what is it that is pushing the price up? Because you would have said if the income goes up, it's just got a tendency of pushing the price. But here, what is it that is doing that here? Here we can understand, because a lot of development of mine, bigger development in Northwest, you might be anticipating changes in prices because of demand. But the Free State has got its own characteristics.
Now, what are these other things that they when you speak to the white people, we just remind them that you still have 18 or strategic integrated projects within the PICC, the Preservation and Infrastructure and Coordinating Commission. And these ones, the intention is to trigger, is to make sure that it triggers growth in these various sectors and in these various provinces. And if you look at their spread, they've got that particular parameter. You look at spatial projects that have got the potential to trigger and assist provinces to have certain initiatives that they can actually take forward based on that kind of process. Here, we're also reflecting that preventing the our GFI that we're responsible for in a form of just indicating their progress, what is it that we have done over the years. We've got CIFA and IGC that we want to speak to. Generally, I wouldn't like to speak to, I mean, just to these figures, because they, I mean, to these figures, I think they are clear. I want to focus more on these are the provincial spread of the resources of CIFA, and we can actually have that. But what I would like to do to go to is the actual representation of all those allocations that the CIFA, all those assistance that CIFA is presenting. What do we see here? That's CIFA. CIFA is here, we have presented it in money terms. This is IGC. IGC, when we're in IGC, we are indicating where does IGC money go. It would have also been interesting if we had taken this and just show members in terms of CIFA, what is it that then, what is the kind of difference? Here is more small enterprise funding here in this aspect. And you can see these figures, how are the layout of all that figure. But with IGC, it's an industrial development corporation. What does it mean? It means that industrialists will come to IGC and say, we have got an initiative we want you to fund. So who are actually requesting for this money in the country? They are in housing, followed by that's 14, I think, Grace and Kate, and then followed by this one is why do we have this money flowing up to here? It's because somebody has requested for it. Now, what is interesting here, what we have noted is that 4% of the resources that have been given here in Mpumalanga, what you see is that the market value of them has become high. What does that mean? It means that with a contribution of 4%, the amount of return of the value of the investment that we are doing was actually 29%. So that is very interesting. Look at how we've got 91%, but we've got 15%. So it's those things that we will be looking at, and we'll talk about that, because when we talk into our programs, we'll be saying, what is the impact of this funding from our GFI? What is this impact of funding in IDC? So in this slide, we're beginning to see where we should actually be doing the evaluation. This is a number of clients. What does this mean? 40% of the clients are in housing. And this is industrial development corporation. So it means we have got more initiative, more industrial potential in this industrialism in Gauteng rather than in the other provinces. So our work has got to focus in the other provinces to build up industrial capacity for them to be able to be active in the in the industry and therefore come up with a product that we like the so finding that guide us in terms of what it is that we want to do. Let's look at that. When you look at the sectors, that's mining, that is metal and mining, that is machinery and equipment. We talk of agro-processing, there it is. Mining and beneficiation is here. And we have got, we are having manufacturing, industrial manufacturing, which comes here and there and there. The question is, when you look at this, we are targeting to increase in the various areas. Why here? Because we've got the increasing beneficiation here. Why here? Because we're increasing agro-processing. Why here? Because we're increasing ISAP. And this, you must combine with that. And that tourism is right there. So those are things that we are looking at. We are looking to use those figures in order also to determine if, where is the spread of our client. Here they are. Here is where they are. This is the spread of our client. So these are things that we wanted just to share with the members. Now we are in the our MTS. Our MTSS now. What is it that we must do? We'll be focusing in this area as government, but ours is around here. Decent employment and growth, skills and capable workforce, efficient, competitive and responsive economic infrastructure network. We are picking up, this is the area where we're going to do. Out of the 14 outcomes of the MTSS of government, we are focusing on those areas. We want to say that one of the things that guides us is the measure of empathy. Where is the measure of empathy that the president has said we must do? It's a 9-point plan that he has outlined. It doesn't mean that we have got to leave the other way in terms of all the short term. And he says, look, we've been talking about the issues of agro-processing, agriculture and agro-processing. We want them to be dealt with, we must focus, they have to be achieved and we must be able to measure by the end of this year. We must be able to have dealt with issues of energy. We must have been able to deal with issues of mineral water beneficiation. So all these things are not that we have left every other way. This is the world, but it's saying these are the areas that we must put more efforts on in order to preserve other potentials. So what is it when we have got that? When we have got that, then our APC is following those, they've got annual targets that are aimed at implementation and accountability. So now this is what our APC looks like and our strategic. Our APC, within our APC, we've got programs and strategic objectives. We have got three programs and six strategic objectives that we want to achieve. And out of these six strategic objectives, we have identified a number of key performance areas. And I've got 21. We'll speak to them. And these key performance areas have got. We don't end with the key performance indicator. But we say, what is it that you should, what is the product, that, what is it that is actually defining this product? So what are we having? We are having here, under this program, which is administration, we have got two KPIs and two products. We'll outline them a little bit later, but this is what they are. And then we've got here under strategic objective two, we have got under our program two, we've got strategic objective two and three, five KPIs and one KPI, five KPIs and 19 products and one KPI and three products. And then so is three with one, two, three strategic objective. And those KPIs that give us 25 KPIs and then 140 products. So how do we spray them? When you go to objective one, these are the things that we're looking at. speak about objective one, speak about issues on administration, which has got to do with budgets, has got to do with efficiency of our services in our back offices, and then in terms of supporting the strategic areas. We want to perform them in this form. Here is what our strategic plan is saying. It says here we continuously each and every year check on the unqualified audit report, and we'll be focusing on achieving an unqualified audit report by looking at each way. But in each year, this year in our quarter 1 to 3, this is what we'll be doing. From 1 to 3, we'll be looking at the response of the AG spirit and make sure that they are actually something that they've been responded to. But in our quarter 4, we are looking at the response to auditor spirit on the interim report for 1560. So it gives us a clear line of on KPI 2, we want to establish a baseline system for progress on our baseline. What are these things that we are expecting out of the support our support unit in relation to ourselves? So we say we're going to introduce the system in this quarter 1, and in quarter 4, we're going to look at the user feedback and evaluation. So when you've got support, you've got finance, you've got human resources, and they're supporting the active productive unit, is to check as well what impact it is making for them. So when we go to strategic objective 2, which has got to do with the coordination of drivers, those are the areas we're looking at: macroeconomic policy and infrastructure integration, we're looking at strategic support for drivers for AGP, and all of those are the listed 5 areas of work. And how do we carry them out? This is what we're going to be doing. We'll be having a KPI on the integration of the NGP framework in macro and macroeconomic policy and infrastructure initiatives. What will this mean? What will this also entail? We're selecting impact assessment and updating operations of social services. So we'll be going to these job drivers and then look at them and then assess the impact they are making in relation to our work, which leads sometimes to the review of the national growth as an area. So in this year, we are looking at a CAP memo on the Competition Act and report on the NGP in terms of employment growth in quarter 1. And quarter 2 is systems of quantifying infrastructure impact on growth. We've been reporting to members in the past that there is an infrastructure, there is that, that, and that. But we want to check here, what is the impact on growth and jobs? What are they? What have they changed? What is it that we see? So in quarter 3, we'll be then reviewing the operational sections of the NGP. When we have done that, because we'll be knowing this was our framework for operation, we then call an economic summit and say to us, this is what it says, this is the performance. Do we have to review our work and look at other way of dealing with things? So you call all stakeholders there. So the main product that is going to come out of this year in this aspect is that quarter 4 will have an economic development conference that is going to look at all these other aspects, whether we need to change anything or not, or we need to improve and add certain things in our growth path. KPI 5 speaks to the strategic support for job drivers, monitoring of implementation of state and look at the blockages and the opportunities and then strengthen implementation. What will we be doing? We'll then be looking, this is our strategic strategic plan targets, and this is this year. All of these will be initiating activities from now on up to, we'll be reporting on that outcome of that work at the end of the first quarter. What are we looking at? Agriculture and agro-processing and mining. We'll be zooming here, work with the department, work with the provinces, work with them in order to come up with tangible programs that are going to sustain over the year and look at the weaknesses which we need improvement on in the future. So out of that assessment, the whole of that assessment will be knowing where we will be putting systems in government that are going to monitor that. Similar, you remember in the last term, we used the infrastructure, similar to the things that we have done in the infrastructure. We have moved and looked at the government and then created a system for us to monitor. Then the following years, we'll then be looking at the rest of adapting it to the rest of the other geographies. So on the KPI 5, development of green economy and jobs, we are looking at initiatives that will improve jobs and localization of investment in public programs to support green economy. What is it that we'll be looking at? We have got an initiative that is already there of rolling out of investment. We want to zoom into that and say, out of the experience that we have seen in the implementation and the weaknesses that we have seen during the course, should we not establish a manufacturer that is focusing on the specific on the heaters or any other green energy that has got the potential to invest in. And we'll also be looking at the maintenance strategy of those newly introduced so that's what we are focusing on. So in KPI 6, facilitation of access of employment and entrepreneurship for black women and youth in the context of stronger support for smaller enterprises. What is it that we're looking at? We want to start making use of what we have. Go to IBC, get to see this work that they've been done with the youth, and go and pick up that and assess its performance, identify areas of strengthening, and then strengthen those. And then with these the lessons that we've learned here, get a cabinet, also carry out work in the accord and say, in relation to what we see here, where are the accords, what are these agreements that we have between labor and the business and our staff? And then we put in a CAP memo in the third quarter on the youth employment accord, and then that is going to guide in terms of work into the future. This one is a number of special and local provincial initiatives to promote employment. This, the way we have structured the quarter is the process towards the end of what we want to have. Firstly, we want to strengthen here in this quarter, these two initiatives, strengthen the content of the strategic plan and the content of their APP, which is we are going to pick up here. We want to look at the weaknesses. You are saying in your strategic plan, these are the things that we want to do, we want to achieve them, we have got a budget. Is this budget realistic in relation to that? Is it linked to the NDP? And then we tighten that, and we are aiming that at least when we finish the second quarter, we should be able to assist the province. If they have projected wrongly, somebody have got 1 million, they're going to build a big factory that is worth 1 million. We should be able to say that's impossible. So want them somewhere in September to be able to readjust their budget and go to their legislation and readjust to be realistic. And we are looking at picking up just two provinces. We'll be having all of them, but we'll pick up just two that as we have initiated in our evaluation with the 9 provinces. But we think we will have to zoom in into two and do this work completely. in the third quarter, what we'll be doing in this third quarter, we'll also bring in the issue around the industrial funding, the impact of industrial funding into our work across the field of subject. This is working. And then we then look at the initiative that local government might be having around green economy and environment. Those are things that we'll be looking at. And we'll also be looking at specialized areas in the fourth quarter in relation to your use, the green economy, and also issues about your mining region. The third on the third objective will begin with the KPIA and the electric IA. We have listed the number of things that we do there, and of critical importance in that. This is almost very clear. I wouldn't like to go into this because that internal reporting to the PICC performing the secretariat work. So KPI 9, KPI 10, and KPI 11, and all these ones will be more of internal work that is supporting the commission. All we can say is to, what we can say here in relation to those KPIs, Chair, is that if the committee could look at this as in broad terms in terms of the work, the outcome of our work, you will see it in the line. You see it now in the line department as they talk about education and schools and universities, and they'll give you the details of what is coming out. Because ours is to support the whole collective to say this and this and this and that, and move around and to the city. The overall end of that, you see it when the department is saying to you, yes, the university is there, yes, water is there, yes, the energy is there. So we follow them like that and advise the president in terms of which areas to tweak. So we are indicating just that it might be important when we have this and then we look at the outcomes as to whether it is what we are doing. It is assisting or it is contributing as in one area. We are going to also look at initiatives to enhance local procurement, our KPI 4G. On our objective 5, these are the listed issues, but we just want to indicate that your objective 5 is all more about investment, industrial funding, and the entrepreneurship for jobs and growth. This is the focus of this. These are the things that we said we will be doing as outlined. We want just to indicate that in this year, we will be starting. We have put ourselves a limit, and we have evaluated the work that we have been doing in the past years. And we said to ourselves, if we are performing well, we should not be doing less than 10. Mm-hmm. Because these are mostly these interventions that we have indicated here, where we facilitate, we fast track, and unblock investment. They are more on demand basis, they are driven from below, they are driven from your local government, from investors, having challenges at those level and the provincial level, and also in individual departments. So say, based on what we receive, we must then perform less than 10 of them and have an outcome on them. So that is a set of things that you said between. We want to establish and monitor industrial funding targets for job drivers, for township economies. And the village economy. So what is it that we're going to do? We want to go and do a case study for industrial funding for selected township enterprises. So we pick up one area where we think there's much work that was done here by our GFIs, whether from the province or national. And we then look at what impact has it made. We have to make some improvement. And then we do, we suggest that model to government to enter into the other areas where we haven't been there. So that is the intention of our outcome for this. On KPI 15 is the report on increased industrial finance available from DFIs and departments. What are these industrial finances that we have had in government? What finances have been had? And they want to look at that and say, has there been an increase? So we want to give us quantification of the level of funding and also quantification of the level of funding from DFI, from government, and also the impact of that and the impact of drop initiatives. What is it that we're saying? We've set ourselves a target for the MCF. And then in this year, we want to start engagement with the DFIs, and we have three of them, which for five engagements with DFIs, which we are going to look at the various funding and checks and benchmark them and facilitate improved turnaround times, just to check how much time it takes to be able to respond to it. So we've initiated that, and that's what we're going to be reporting in the fourth quarter. We want to also look at connecting infrastructure with productive investment. So what is it that we'll be looking at? We are going to look at initiatives to improve the link between our infrastructure and productive investment. So will be initiate in this year. There will be initiative ensuring offtake agreement for commercial use of infrastructure and investment components in manufacturing and provisions of the material. So what we mean is that if there's an infrastructure project that we are having, we are going to look at all the aspects that are going to be able to assist that locality or other industries to be able to identify opportunities for investment in that capitalization. Objectives is of course four KPIs, and these are the KPIs that we are looking at: strengthening of economic regulator, use of market, and so on. On that, what is it that we'll be doing this year? We are going to come up with a capacity building initiative with the successful sharing of experiences in competition authorities. We are going to have, we are looking at having a conference of specialists of those who are doing well in this great country and look at the experiences that they are having in order to enhance our own MC and come up with a proposal. And then when we have done that, we will then be doing a review of the existing role in the capacity of our training. And the capacity, of existing roles, capacity and training of the regulators by the entities, and then look at what is it that we can improve on our own activities. The last KPI is on the ensuring competition authority, and on the ensuring competition authority to address abuse of market power. On this one, this is what we have said ourselves in the strategic plan. We are looking at two reports on the strategic action by competition authorities. We'll be assessing public interest laws in selective measures and activation, and also assess the impact of actions against selected cartels. Those actions that we have reported to you, the predators and all this, and then the construction, and we'll say, look at the impact of these actions, whether they're approaching any other areas. All the trade authorities and policies want to analyze the trade flows with the policy implications and then have strategic engagement with them in terms of looking at what impact that they have on it. And we have trade engagement with the authorities to just check on their administrative efficiencies and report on that in quarter four. So those are the things that we'll be doing. And And then in terms of our implementation, we just want to indicate that we do have, we have indicated to you that we have put three programs with the six objectives and then 23 key performance indicators with the clearly indicated products which I want to see for that we want to see happening at the end of the year, so that we can look at the overall impact that of things that you have mentioned in the beginning, whether we are achieving them or not. In relation to our organizational structure, we are changes that have been made, and we are implementing following the internal consultative processes. We are now, we have indicated four programs that have been consolidated into three. And this is what they are. And we want also to indicate that CIFA will remain wholly owned by IGC, but it's for this year, we want to indicate to the committee that its operational responsibilities will be shifted to the Minister of Small Business. Small Business Department. Coming to our personal staffing capacity, we have 149 patterns for the financial year. These 127 posts have been filled. We are looking at the rest of the remaining posts. But there will be a lot of other innovations that we're having, because when we interacted with the various institutions, they've indicated them. They've given an indication that we can have more other ways than without ourselves, including the academic institution and research institution. That is almost what we wanted to mention. And just we just want to indicate that the members must know it, and they mustn't be surprised that when we get to 2016-17, there will be a drastic decrease in the allocation for CIFA. And it had to do with the special allocation that was for economic competitiveness package that is being implemented. So you will see that it will not be meaning that the government has changed its strategy. That's basically what I wanted to share with the committee, speaking to what they will be doing in years.
Thank you,
Tina.
I think that is over to the DG, just to finish off my teacher for the future, perhaps. You know, there are figures, the last 2 pages.
Thank you, Chief President, but there's a lot like DM spoke to, so just to highlight the baseline allocation plus the EMR funds. And the baseline, our baseline is going to reduce 204 million in the financial year because of the special fund that is received from this country. But I could say how much we have in the UK. That's your bit.
You announced our interest, and you have built our appetite to hear. Do you want to know the figures?
Thank you once more, Chairperson. For the 15-16 financial year, as EDD, we have been allocated 885.8 million, of which 162.6 is our baseline allocation, our normal operation. And 733 million of that is our transfers. Included in that 733.2 million is the 204 million, which is basically temporary money or earmarked funds. programs that CFAN had undertaken, wherein we were basically giving concessionary interest rates to small businesses, and it was really funded from National Treasury. I think it was the Reconstruction and Development Fund that was made money that was made available, and $204 million of that was provided by National Treasury to us, and we transferred it to CFA. And this is the last year that we'll be receiving the fund. Hence the reduction from 15-16 from 885, or at least what seems like our budget has been reduced from 885 to 685 in the following financial year, which is the 16-17. So it was just basically if you like inflated by the 204 that is not part of our baseline at the department. The 2016-17 financial year we have 685 million, of which 156.9 million of that is our baseline allocation. 528.8 million of that is transferred to our agencies. And in 2017-18 we have 727.9 million. Based on allocation of money available to the Department for Operations is 165, and transfers to agencies is 562. The budget in terms of our program for the 2015-16 financial year, program one receives, or administration receives 83.2 million of that. Program 2, which is growth path and social dialogue, will be is allocated 28 million, and program 3, which is where our investment competition and trade is, excluding the 732.2 million, will have 41.4 million for operations. Yeah, the one should be said.
Thank you very much, GM. I'm not sure, do you want to say something? Please.
Thank you, Chairman. Once again, good afternoon to the members. Just to say, you know, the department, the work of the department is, in my view, a really important work, because it deals with the coordination of different spheres of government. And look at areas where there are blockages, where there are challenges, and intervene in those areas. And you look at the work of the PICC, it largely does that. So wherever there are blockages, it gets taken up at the presidential level and street to ensure that they deliver on what the ultimate objective is. And a lot of the other work is very similar to the PICC work in the department. So it might be at a smaller level, but it does have the impact that PICC is having and is probably going to have in the future. What else do we do? We do impact assessments. And I think on that impact assessments, we make policies, or we advise other departments what policies to make or change. Very important work of the department. Then, on the other side, we have our implementation agencies, like the IDC. CPI, obviously, is going to move to small business. And the IDC plays a huge role in terms of employment creation, and soon, focus on black industrial, maybe a big program I think in the future. The youth, women, and then we have our competition authority. That deals with competition issues where the public is usually impacted on, particularly in relation to prices and supply and demand. And this one plays a huge role in them guiding these institutions. Although they meant to be totally independent, the department does give guidance, policy guidance to the institution. Like, for example, the cartels, the kind of penalties that are being instituted on these cartels. And then on the other side, we have ICAC, where the department made huge interventions last year when it came to steel, the chicken, I mean, the chicken are an issue that you would say, you know, that because we've raised our hotels. So the department gives all this guidance. And it's because of the department all of these things happen. And there, this is called a structural context in which the importance of the work of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DJ. Anything else? Ladies and gentlemen, there you are.
the vision of the NDP is the creation of, if I'm correct, the village to create 11 million jobs by 2030. I can't remember the organization that released a report on Monday around the figures that we need to create about 16,000 SMEs in that space for us to reach that target of the 11 million jobs that we should create by the year 2030. Is the environment conducive in that space towards the creation of this 11 million jobs? Are we on course as a country to create these jobs by as anticipated or by the NDP? The DG make reference to the fact that the two impact assessments are planned at terms of get evidence to Edward Tabas. Assessment done on an annual basis or what, because we really don't have time to wait. We need to get out of the system that which doesn't work and get and change from time to time so that we get things that work into our plans and strategies. Those that do not work for us, we get to have my interest. I have made an observation of the risk also that you identify in your line of duty as a department. It's really quite impressive. The recourse, what I would call a recourse in compensation with regards to what I would phrase as corporate white collar crime against humanity committed by huge cartels in this country, I'm not sure if we have sufficient recourse in this regard. I am tempted to believe that the corporate will get away with matter in this space. I know there are penalties that they pay, but the recourse in terms of the social compensation on the part of these cartels, are we doing something in that regard?
I have questions. I'm sure this will come to the content of the
tool. I am not the vice debate here. I'm still the member of the right party. This is a big boss of the left.
All right. Please, let's not go down. We're not yet there now. This is a big boss of the left. We will come to that. All the wrong ones. This will be on the right. Thank you. Thank you. Over to other members.
No, thanks. I will not get into the talking games of three neighbors. Thanks for your question on the television. I would like to know if there is any relationship between the job percentage included on slide page 9 and what the IPC offer as loads on slide 21. So they say that in slide 21 they are proving that they are getting large share in terms of boosting them for their economic development. But when you look at what happens in terms of the changes, sometimes it doesn't occur. Can you talk on to both those slides here? And also I would like to know, you also spoke of the 1.8 million jobs on page 4. Of those, of the total, does it include the temporary jobs? We are only talking about the permanent jobs. The window of
thank you very much. Those are very important two questions. And the responses might be very long. And again, how to do it on the issue of the allocation approval of disbursement. Thank you. Number three? I don't remember.
the presentation that has been made is very intense, mind-boggling, both in terms of the terminology and also the way it's done, which is quite good. One would just want to, and before I pose the question, make the appeal that the department was very stick to the timelines that they have given to us, because we won't interrogate on that now. We recognize that it's a new department for this division of the small business industry. So my question, the first one would be, Chair, these agencies that we are making that huge transfer to, do they report to Parliament or do they report to the Department? That's the first question. My second question would be on slide 59, that 204 million that is not going to be part of the EDD baseline, will they be part of the baseline of another department, or does it mean that CFAS will lose that from the fiscus? The third question is something that you have not touched on, but I think Honorable Jumunia alluded to it in his question as well. Mine would be to say, what is the appetite of the private sector for investment? My final question, then, Chair, would just be, when you were talking about localization, that in the Department of Trade and Industry, we are intensely engaged in finding ways in which we deal with the metal prices. Is there anything that EDD would be doing on that particular resource?
I want to give just an example on the last question that you answered, that they know in the picture.
When do they know it?
They know.
Yeah. Oh. You're part of it,
Captain. Well, I'm covered. Please be uncovered. Thank you. Let's go to Honourable Member Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. And we must really say this explicitly. This is one department here that at all material times we get the most senior leadership of the department to come to meetings. And we really appreciate that. We hear horrible stories from other colleges that there comes the very senior, not clearly equipped leaders of the department to come and protest. And in our case, with your department, it has never happened. We really appreciate that. The intergovernmental relations and the alignment that you seek to do, to what extent is it working to our favor here? I'm raising this because we took an oversight visit as a committee and we visited Abington. And when you go to Abington, that's what we call the Spanish invasion. The Spaniards are in that part of the country, in the what we call the clean energy invasion. Solar panels, I think there are 1,400 of them. They're going to be a massive energy driving project today, funded by GTI and other departments. And I know that you also probably have information or links to that. But what was very challenging out of that was that when we met with the energy department, there was misalignment of what needs to be done. And we think that is a waste of the alignment and the intergovernmental relations that we want to see. And probably your department is critical in making sure that in the future we have such situation. That you can't have such a big investment opportunity coming into the country. There's no social investment in the nearby communities. There's no infrastructural development happening in whatever the place that they are residing in. There's not even an equipment skill transfer. I mean, the people who were there from the community, nearby community, not even 100 kilometers away, they were not even taught how to repair such solar panels if the Spaniards were going home. And I think this is one of the things that it's bad for our economy, it's bad for our own people, and it should never be allowed. Now, Honorable Ntimunye came close to assisting me with a certain question. Look, your report is saying South African exports, the base is sitting around 80% of the GDP if you want to classify it. But the reality of the matter is that if you want to deal away with our deficit in the country, we need to grow our export base. And we can't grow our export base if we are apologetic about the increase of the tariffs that we implement in the country. We can't be going to that direction if we are apologetic about protecting the vulnerable sectors that we have in the country. So that the only way that we can be able to close that gap is for us to be able to grow and make sure that our export business is growing. Are we clear with all the departments that you are working on with the tariffs into the poultry sector, and are we going into the right direction, or are we going to rise from the U.S. pressure and allow this dumping to happen in our country, and therefore our sector suffering at the end of the day? The CFO, your slide 59, I was just checking, just the clarity. Administration, you have 83.2 million. And investment, competition, and trade, you have 41.4. Oh, I see, you excluded transfer. But if you leave it like that, the assumption might be you are reporting that administration is getting more money than your core function, which is investment, competition, and trade. And we would want to see less money spent on administration without compromising the administration arm, but putting more money into what we think should be able to grow the base. And that is your investment, competition, and trade. Thank you so much.
Provinces have their own strategic plans.
to these talk to each other, or is it only on implementation? How do you actually work this out? Because listening to the presentation, I thought it's excellent the way National Department is going about it. And that brings me to my next point about the unqualified audits. It's great to have unqualified audits at national level. I think virtually every department from national level that is presented to us has always shown us that they're having clean audits. The issue I'm raising is what is being done to ensure that in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years we will have clean audits or unqualified audits in the provinces. That means in the economic departments of each province. And then from there, this must then cascade to the local government levels where we are having difficulties. I think if we look at the long-term objective or a strategy to achieve that, I think we will find that there will be. In KPI number 4, where we spoke about mineral beneficiation, the question we are asking is that when it comes, with regard to the import parity pricing, what is the progress in this regard? Because this makes it extremely difficult for beneficiation at grassroots level for our people in South Africa, because the pricing has changed, and so if the department can give an idea what is being done on that score. The 149 posts, 127 filled, what is being done to fill the talents. Finally, on a much lighter note, Honorable DM, if anybody is granted 1 million rand and then wants to build a 1 billion rand factory, please hire it. Thank you, Jeff.
What about the million and the million? And what is the million? Okay, I understand. Thank you very much, honorable member. There you are, DM, and the team. There are some worrying bullets in the presentation, especially on the growth of our economy. It's a very worrying factor. And we know that you did, in fact, the question of the youth also comes into play in the economy. Those who are able to work and who are networking. The unemployment rate is quite high. I was listening to other members yesterday, others said 6%. Unemployment rate in South Africa was 6%. But it's about it. It's about that. I think we need to get a vigorous strategy to overcome that. So I'm saying it is a one factor. We are also below the global growth. 3.5% is 1.5%. We are such a nation that needs to work. Maybe we need more vigorous dynamic approaches to these matters so that we get the nation back. A syndrome that is happening in the circle of which you already get the dream that you are creating a nation that does not want to work through our systems or other social services that we are creating. We need to turn around that situation. So maybe before I jump on and allow our service department to respond, then maybe members will have to have some conversation.
Thanks, Chair. Today I was doing it very differently. I went in, the CFO was sacked, and Florida was so low. And the DC was featured. And fully, if there's something that was. Can you do that? I'll just close up. I want to, sometimes when I speak first, you withdraw before you give the numbers that you do things. So do it so that I can actually close up.
So we do the, this is CFO.
The person that was raised. on what happens to me, is it being transferred to another department, or as indicated in the chairperson, the 200 was part of a package that was given to CIFA from National Treasury called Never Part of our Baseline Allocation. So it teases this financial tool. This year we received the last lot from National Treasury. It was never part of our baseline. We received the money over a 3-year period. Initially, when we received the application, it was 450. It was reduced by 94 million during the budget cut. And it was never part of our baseline allocation, so it's not given to anybody because that money stopped. It was money that was funded by donors. The next question that has been asked was, what happens to CIFA's baseline allocation? Normally, as finance, we will take our cue from the time arrives for CIFA to operationally fully be transferred to small business department. We will then also follow the transfer as required by Section 42 of the PSMA, where the money will also be transferred to CIFA. So it's basically just in our care until the necessary protocols are followed, then we will just transfer the money. And the baseline allocation, as you speak, for 15-16 related to CIFA, excluding the 204 million that I spoke to, is 202 million of that 733 that we have as transferred to ATP. So once we exclude all CIFA related monies, the money that will be transferable to entities that directly report to EDD. Competition Commission will receive in this year 223 million. Competition Tribunal will receive 19.1 million. ITEC will receive 84.7 million. That will add up to amount to 326 million. So most of that money, as we speak, is CIFA related. The next question that related to finances was, when we strip the department of its transfers, it seems we bulking up administration. In there, we've got all our ministries, we've got admin. We also do take care centrally of accommodation costs. We take care centrally of all the printing and capital equipment that supports the department. And it is never our intention to unnecessarily grow support, as we call ourselves, within the department. As Minister puts it, he actually demands that we get sweated to make sure that the money, the department gets value for money. Hence the introduction of the second KPI that says we will be evaluated on how we enable core business to achieve its own mandate. If I could just quickly touch on the question that was raised around unqualified audits at national level and how does that cascade down to provinces and ultimately to municipalities. Currently, as we speak, this is just a national indicator. We don't necessarily, from support functions, support provinces that have economic development. We don't interact at that level. And I think the PM's conclusion and the DG's comment, it will be clarified that we don't necessarily they don't report to the national department as we speak. They ignore direct reporting line in terms of admin issues. And maybe something that going forward should be considered. I think I have covered all finance related questions here.
On the AGOA question, Now, the American legislators have stated that if we don't allow them access to select the chicken market, they would withdraw a co-op benefit from South Africa. So the DTI is negotiating with them. At the end of the day, it has to be a trade-off. It's a process of negotiation. And we have to strike a deal that's in the best interest of South Africa. It may very well be that we might have to open limited access to the Americans, to our chicken markets, in order for us to still have our economic state. But those negotiations are still underway. On the competition issue, there were a couple of those that I think I could respond to them. In the last 5 years, we have, through the Competition Commission, imposed fines of about 5 billion. And the highlight case is where the Pioneer Food one on the food on the bread price fixing, construction cartel, and so on. And in the previous 5 years, fines were only about 500 billion. So there's been a significant increase on the fines that we've imposed. And this also relates now to the questions that you're asking about steel pricing, the import parity pricing, and so on. As you know, there were a whole process against AMSA on the import parity prices, and we were fighting it all the way. We've reached a stage now where we've dropped all the actions against it, where they have admitted that they have indeed been charging unfair price, or they had uncompetitive prices. Shortly, there's going to be an announcement of a fine that has been agreed, and it's going to run into 2 or 3 billion rand. But the question is not the price of it. The fine is one aspect. What we need to get is a pricing model that is competitive, and so like I mean, it's going to be announced. In the process of being negotiated. So I need to withdraw that amount of fines. But that fine will be announced shortly. But what is important is that we are trying to achieve a tariff that is competitive, that is fair. And Minister is so that inputs into the construction industry, into the PFDC would be like cheaper for the state and also for the private sector. So this is shortly going to announce a panel where we're going to review the pricing of the capital. And so once that happens, there'll be further broadcasts around those issues. So we certainly want to do that. In addition to the fine, what we've done in the bread case, we've 250 million rand. That money goes to the fiscus. We took 250 million rand of that, gave it to the IDC, and asked them to invest it in the agro-processing sector. And they have done that. They spent that money. But none of the primary kind of businesses, secondary businesses, smaller businesses, and so on. In the merger of Agri, what we have done was we've got concessions of 90 million rand. We've exchanged small-scale farmers on farming methodology and so on. In addition to that, Agri is providing silo storage facilities with 40% discount to small-scale farmers who are storing less than 10 tons. So like, we get these kinds of concessions out of competition issues that arise. On the solar panels, you mentioned that the clause are only for the Spanish. But there is one exception, just next to the airport.
food now? You're on the phone.
Fine, fine, fine. Change that for you.
Also, we'll take him outside the meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is that all something?
So,
thank you, Chair. I'm just trying to go to the left and I'll try and answer as few as possible. And Chair, just the reaction of the world to South African policy. I think you know, we belong to the WTO, and generally we tend to abide by the rules, or else we have backlash from other countries. But if you look at some of the things we've done, the crab metal, the chicken, we have a huge outcry within South Africa itself, but government stood its ground. Government increased the tariffs on crab metal, increased the tariffs on chicken. Now, the issue of AGOA, the first AGOA, as Mohamed indicated, is the US free export into their market. And what Minister Davis said is that they're probably going to agree on with this come September. And the chicken gets left over for further negotiations. And they could intervene at any time with respect to South Africa participating in AGOA. But what Minister Davis is saying, they're trying to claw back slowly. And there's going to come a time when you do reach that cut-off where you say, AGOA is no more benefit to South Africa. So we withdraw and then we just keep our increases in our tariffs. So that's where we are at the moment. So I think South Africa has taken a stand. We will stand our ground on these issues. And at that moment indicated that my colleague said, if it's beneficial to South Africa, you've got to make some concessions. Because overall you will benefit, but it might be on the chicken side. So you've got to look at it from a global context. The issue of impact assessments and what intervals, what you're trying to do, and you see the APP, we're trying to kill off the impact assessments in the first quarter. For example, the assessment of funding on township enterprises. We want to do that in the first quarter. So we can start implementing corrective action from the second quarter onwards. And it's phased. And then just in relation to that, I think the question was asked that it was mentioned and then we're told that we must shift our time frame. The way we can manage this ATP on a monthly basis, and I can tell you the minister and deputy minister are very involved in managing the ATP, just making sure that we deliver and the quality is of top quality. So they said just have it right up front. And they spent hours with us telling us exactly what they require and we go away and implement and report to them on a regular basis. So we're going to try and keep to these time frames. And unless it's outside our control, you know, we will keep to these time frames. And very few of you are out of our control. Spoke about the impact assessment. And obviously, when it comes to trade, we also bring the trade flows. We want to see what the trade flows tell us. And based on that, we'll probably define policy, and that will probably be done during the year. So the impact on the trade flows has already started. and we'll see what comes of that, and obviously that will depend on policy. Any relative to the job, I think my colleague indicated that the job increase in IDC, and there certainly was, but obviously it's a collaborative effort by all government departments, all DFIs, so we all contribute to the job increase, including the IDC. Some numbers around that. Allocation, approval, and disbursement, the turnaround times. You'll see in the APP, we've got engagements throughout the year, I think 3 or 4 engagements throughout the year with our entity. So what you do, we set a benchmark, we go back, we have a look at it, and if we've met it, we increase the standard. And you continue to do that. I can tell you that humans and minutes are also involved in that, because impact on job creation, impact on industrial development. So we're very much on top of that. This was the transfer agencies, I think, one point that was missed. In fact, the CIPA transfer is already in the department's budget at the moment. It might move up during the adjustment assessment towards the end of the year or the next financial year. And the issue of administration, I think the CFO covered it. A lot of our administrative costs are centrally located. But I think what we also need to understand in government is lots of compliance. Lots and lots of compliance. And there's lots of structure that
department or your small department. You have to have HR management, you have to have a chief financial officer, you have to have a risk committee, a risk management, you have to have all of that. So that adds up. And so when you look at it in this context, because the core budget of the department is 152 million rand, it looks like a lot. But if you take the DTI, it was about 10 billion rand, and you look at it 8 billion rand, their operational budget is 500 million rand. It looks small in relation, so you won't question it. But in this case, you will, because it looks big. But it's also the compliance issues that take up some of this funds. What is the appetite of the private sector? I think government is trying to work with the private sector. We have NEDLAC, I suppose, to try and get them to participate. But you know the reluctance of the private sector. They want to see what government wants to put on the table first. And government wants to put a larger percentage than they do. And we do know they have large surpluses sitting in the bank account. And we need to see how we can unlock those. And I think Minister Patel, together with the Deputy Minister, are working really hard to do that. Take, for example, a conference we can have every year. We'll probably address some of these issues. We'll talk to them, but you can't take the money out of the bank account. So we'll find a way of doing that. Maybe through pressure, other ways, but yeah. The issue of localization, and you know the issue you spoke about in our Pinson, I think for the CICC, Minister is trying to address that, but make sure that the local communities benefit. In fact, you will respect our cartels. Whenever they get caught up, ministers have to take the money out of there and see how we can best benefit the community. And let's take the Pioneer Foods, for example. Those are about 250 million rand. Yeah, so with mass marks, when that merger took place, Minister ensured that they set up a fund for small businesses. And he monitors that regularly on a quarterly basis, he has meetings. So when it comes to the cartels, we're looking at how best we can, if they get caught, that they contribute back to society in a way that benefits globally the production of society. What we're also doing is doing impact now. We have an impact assessment. On all of these managers and cartels, we want to see what impact it has had, the policy that we put in place. The export base must grow, we certainly agree. And I think Africa is a place to grow, really. And that's why these recent incidents need to be addressed quite seriously. Because, as Minister said previously, 167,000 jobs are created for exports into Africa only. And if we lose that, it's a huge loss to the country. So I think we need to focus on Africa, and we need to continue to maintain our traditional markets like Europe, America, and try to grow that. And through the DTI, I think DTI is very much involved with that. So we need to use all of that. The issue of the alignment between national and provincial, our Deputy Minister, really important. We have KPI here that says that we will be looking at provincial plans and seeing how that ties back to the national plans and the NTSF. We're doing that now and give them guidance so that when they come to do the next plan, there is alignment with that. And Minister also has important the metro level. What they stand up and how that happens. So I'm sure they will understand. The issue of import parity pricing is always in a big issue, but I don't think it's actually a huge role in trying to claw back some of that. I know they said to claw back a lot of steel also, steel pricing. Minister is putting together a panel on steel pricing. It should be convened fairly soon. And look at the pricing, what the components of that are, how it's made up, and see whether we can't get to this. With respect to vacancies, I'm going to say this here because I'm new on the job. I'm looking at the department and to see what each individual person does and what the productivity is like. And that's probably going to take 2 or 3 months. Okay? And I just say to the Minister that I'm going to say to the Minister, we want to put the recruitment on hold for a little while. folks and has this public thing must say. However, there are some senior positions which so that we need to put it, which we need to be need to make sure that we fulfill our obligations of the APP and we will be doing it. Yeah, okay, Chair, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dion?
Our trade policy is informed by our national interest. And I think in terms of that, you have seen that between, I think, 2009, the last year, there wasn't much, in much that has been done in terms of defining what is it that we must be focusing on. So when you look at the NGP and you look at all the issues that are saying on the NGP, they inform you what is it that you want to achieve. If you say minerals want to beneficiate more, so your engagement with any partner outside, you engage on the basis of that. Anything that takes you somewhere means that it's going to be a sticky point. It needs to let input and negotiations. It's quite important to indicate that South Africa has been in existence for some time, and there have been existing agreements that were there. We have learned that it's difficult to deal with the changing existing agreements and creating new ones. The ones that give us most of the trouble is the ones that have been in existence, and we have been negotiating, we've been discussing them, and sometimes concession, but not in full. And over the years, we keep on litigation on them, so that's what it is all about. Also, when you deal with that, you always look at the balancing of your investments. You might be achieving, you might be losing on one and achieving more on the other. I just want to give an example of the Akko. You've got the manganese. Company, Nesbitt, and the others that are benefiting more on a growing terms of export. And they are very happy. We are happy that the minister has made, the government has made sure that we keep these 800 employees when we visit them. And then we meet with those bodies that are selling our importation. They say, you know, we are very happy of the argument, but we think that. You have tightened more, can you open a little bit more? And you go to those that are interested producers in the country, they begin to say, look, you must reduce that. But there was a question, it's a very interesting one because it has also to do with the kind of meat that the Americans eat. They eat more filling, the breast, and the rest of the chicken. Nobody eat it. So what was supposed to go into a dump, they are looking for a market for it. And you must know when you enter there, it's always going to be a tough negotiation. And that is why I'm saying, I was referring to this field that we're in, that immediately we drew our framework properly. It was, you knew what to engage on, so you can't leave. Because they actually, in those negotiations, they actually come very prepared. Actually want to push you away and show you in a lot of interest, enticing issues that you can actually buy into. And I think that's why I think we've been ending that negotiations that in relation to the impact on our GFI, the impact of IGC, we have got an item, but it's not IGC only. The GFIs will be also provincial agencies. Include your local agencies where you have them. And we are also focusing on the other national agencies. So we are going to go and ask, go to a province and ask ourselves, if I just look at all the funding, including your PIC, NYGA contribution. So all those, we look at them and we're going to look at them. The other matter I just wanted to raise.
ESG-related projects. It's a special focus on looking at all these new investments that are coming, what are the weaknesses, where can they be strengthened. That's why we said in the infrastructure side, we'll be looking at all of them and identify key ones we want to zoom in and really assess fully what weaknesses do we have. We have identified pillars, and we have also identified some of the green energy projects that we want to do an assessment and say how best should the country position itself to achieve more. Just as a last push, the alignment across. I have indicated that in this quarter, all provinces were assisting them, are looking at what their strategic plans are looking at. But what we can say is that our strategic plans currently are closer to what we want to have. But what we're worried of is whether what they are saying in the strategic plans is backed by resources. And also that their APPs are actually speaking to that. So that is a major focus until September. And when we reach September, that's when we say to them, can you make critical adjustments in the following areas so that they can be aligned to capacity, you know, financial capacity to deliver. Some of the things that they are thinking of, it might be that it doesn't align into them, but it's useful for the country. The province has got a project that is going to deploy 1 million. They don't have money and it makes business sense. Why should we not consider it to assist them to have it? So the alignment is not just about alignment, it's also identifying key critical interventions that the national team pick up. So that is the intention.
Okay.
What
are the questions for the government? You said you die if not.
What is the question that was not answered on the issue of permanent temporary jobs?
Oh, how many days? Oh, okay. Are we able to give this
one? On the aspect of job, this is, we'll give it in the general scope. We are checking our figures mostly from states of Africa. And we know that when we measure the wealth, permanent job plus full-time equivalent jobs. But this full-time equivalent jobs, if you go to a farm, it will be difficult for you to get all the people who are employed for the whole year. So there is a definition of that economic. We look at those that must be considered. Or if it covers a particular field of and that could actually have an impact on the person's income, then it gets counted. But the way it is counted is like, you don't count it in full. It is, up to this point, this is a figure, this percentage, and the next one is this percentage, and the next one this percentage. In the full year, if we combine all those, they will give you a full term. They have that kind of thing. So we're using it as that those are being called because
all right, that's a more general response to your question. But for the third thing, the honorable member, and the senior honorable who are also teaching for something.
No.
Oh, yes, you're correct.
Okay. So, two things I'm going to be very quick. Here we understand the impact, the magnitude of the impact from air. And we nearly lost it because the argument from America was that we are now a developed country and therefore we must be taken away from the economy. But we've seen negative impact not far away, Swaziland. 17,000 manufacturing workers laid off because Papua was taken away from Swaziland. And we know what the impact is. But in future, just so that you understand, we are negotiating from the back foot, but we are just saying we should be mindful of what we want to do also and identify key pillars of what we want to let the country move forward, but also be mindful of the difficulty of negotiating. I have declared particularly your Bojanala area, Rustenburg area, as an SEZ, at what level are we going to zoom? There's also an argument that says commodity prices have declined. Iron ore and platinum. But at what level are we going to explore the possibility of catalytic converters in South Africa, produced there? At what level are we in Port Elizabeth that now they are going to have the biggest port that is going to export something like 20 billion of tons of all manganese out of the country? We appreciate that AGOA will also serve as a platform for that. But at what level are we going to have strengthen our own SEZ with the relevant commodities that we have in the country? You might not answer me now, but I'm just saying, as you come back, we will always know that you always come back. Please, let's zoom into that possibility. Thank you.
There was a presentation also
when
the
team
wants to respond to you. Also, all the members, but the question of time also.
Yeah.
Here, without denying him a response, though not for listener, but I'm sure he wants to let him appetite so that he comes to you for a response.
No, it's a critical discussion in the last meeting that was part of the discussion. What is it that will be doing more? I said, when we're in Parliament and also when the President came to the National Assembly, the President spoke about the 9 points. What he has isolated to say, we want to move the speed in relation to using our commodities, I mean our minerals, and convert them into something more valuable. Using our coverage and change them into more sentimental. So your agro-processing and beneficiation comes from that particular aspect. So it's a matter of action that is there we see and that we need to work on.
Just one
last
question.
You know, at some point I have a view that as South Africans, you know, take away members of parliament, take away GM. Particularly South Africans, maybe systematically and strategically have some kind of colloquia and engage, you know, engage on these issues and assist your strategic planning at some point and forget about the committee accountability and all those things and not engage as particularly South Africans. I don't know if the department can sponsor that. Just have that kind of an attention.
It's a very valid point, but I think there is an economic summit that you spoke about also. Do you want to say something in term so that we step up the matter?
Yes, it's a new economic summit all in a program framework. But in the National Assembly, we also have this, and I wanted to speak to the chair about this, a session before the beginning of the year with the portfolio committee and the stretch on the issue. It's a worth exercise. The other one is that we've already started in the province, bringing all the stakeholders in the province. When I go to the province, that's what we say. We then discuss with the rest of the stakeholders to say, this is our province, what do you want to do? We don't go there and just speak. We say, when I arrive there, I say, this is your province, these are the statistics, what do you want to do with this level of unemployment? And I don't want to business will say, this is our plan, and it's going to be supported here, and government will say, this is how we can propose. We do have, as we are going to the Northwest, and we have that kind of discussion.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear, this is a quality of economic development, economic business development, having considered the budget for 25. Department, a report that it has concluded its determination on. As a result, we want to the report that we continue to do. Any objections? The report has been adopted. Thank you very much. Then the last point, Jim and the team, we want to thank you. We will remain just for another 5 minutes ourselves. You can file out very quickly. I'm not sure whether the last time is still outside. So I'm sorry. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Can we just quickly adopt the report of the committee?
What are you saying?
not reflected.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
oh
yes.
Yeah.
Very good. You should say that the meeting elected needs to check.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say the exit check.
I
want elected. I asked the member.
Oh,
I remember asking.
No, you have
to
go
for
it. You have to go for
it.
You see, my difficulty also is what is happening. I'm looking at the last page because I was a part of the meeting. It should say the acting chair, you know, in the name of honorable member. You see the last page, the very last one.
No. The very last one, where you were signed.
Yeah.
Yes. We were acting on our behalf.
So you can't sign because you were not
signed. Exactly. It's like I can't vote. I mean, procedural. Am I not right? Procedural is better.
No, no, after 94, you can vote.
Sure, my suggestion is that with the necessary amendments as we agreed as the committee, that we should clearly and explicitly indicate that the acting chair of the Senate meeting must go on our lady.
Mm.
And at the last page, we should then indicate that the signatory thereof would be the acting chair to verify the correctness of the meeting. But I think to my satisfaction that the categorically the decisions of the committee were captured correctly, and therefore on my part there are no major suggestion of correction that I wanted to make. And I want to stand and suggest adoption of the manifest with the said corrections. Yes.
Can you take over with that number?
The bus is going half past.